Spartans to Mission Debrief. We're playing every mission of the mainline Halo video game series in chronological order, discussing our experiences and sprinkling in a little lore along the way. If you'd like to play along and have your thoughts read on the show, email us at podcastevolved@gmail.com or drop us a tweet at podcastevolved on Twitter. We'll be playing the Outskirts mission from Halo 2 on the next episode. This episode, we're debriefing the opening missions to Halo 2. We made it!
Yay! We made it to the best game.
The Heretic, the Armory, and Cairo Station. I'm your host, Colin Perkins, alongside David Arnold.
Chris is a heretic.
Is that what the script says?
Krista Brown.
Shit's about to get real.
That's Ooh. Right.
David, come at me, bro.
You're so far away.
I will fight you. Yeah, I mean, you got to get a couple plane tickets, but we can fight.
It's going to happen. The internet threat, the empty internet threat is actually going to happen.
It's going to be bigger than Jake Paul versus KSI. It's going to be great.
All right, since this is the first mission debrief for Halo 2, we're going to do a quick run through, quick overview of Halo 2 to put everything kind of in perspective and context when it was released, all that fun stuff. So Krista is going to take you through that now.
All right, developer is Bungie, our old friend, our old buddy, our old pal. The original release date was November 9th, 2004. Remaster was November 11th, 2014. Roughly 10 years apart. They didn't quite get it to the day like they did for the original CE, but that's okay. We can deal with a couple days off. Mm-hmm. There are 15 missions, 14 are playable. Some of them more playable than others. Some of them, like the Armory, is just, hey, this is how you use the sticks.
That's playable. That
counts. Like, thanks. Thanks. And then you go into the elevator and that's it. But whatever. Other treasures or games released in this year, Half-Life 2, World of Warcraft, Grand Theft Auto San Andreas, Fable, Rome, Total War, Katamari Damacy, Metal Gear Solid 3, Snake Eater, Spider-Man 2, and Red Dead Revolver. A lot of good stuff coming out in 2004.
Absolutely. I mean, WoW is a huge one, right?
It's a lot of... This is a pretty good lineup. Mm-hmm. I don't know. It's okay. The Metacritic score right now is 95. Don't know where those 5 points went. Where'd they go?
I don't know.
Who took them? Poof. Who stole those 5 points? It's when they added Locke. They took the 5 points away. We'll get to that later. So, we are individually playing playing Halo 2 Anniversary, so the MCC, Master Chief Collection, on normal difficulty. You can play it on whatever difficulty you like, of course. We're just lazy. There is a lot of additional content in Halo 2 Anniversary if you're playing just the 360 version. Also, some of the cutscenes actually are completely differently paced. So if you are actually playing on the Master Chief Collection, you can flip back and forth and you'll be like 5 minutes back into the cutscene when you're flipping back and forth. Hmm. So they definitely tried to do a more cinematic approach. But shout out to those of you playing Legendary solo. You know, just keep your head up. You'll get to the next checkpoint eventually. The tears of joy will flow. And then the tears of sadness and frustration will, of course, hopefully dissipate. But you are playing Halo 2 Legendary solo, so it's your own fault.
It'll be worth it. It'll be totally worth it.
It's not, though. It's not. It's not. So the Halo timeline covered in this game is October 20th, 2552 to November 3rd, 2552. And wait.
Then there's a little fun thing that happens, forward, right? There's lots of stuff that happens in this game.
Yeah. So it's like October, November-ish, and then retold on October 27th, 2558 with the Locke cutscene. We'll get to that later. And one of the most interesting things about the release of Halo 2 was the I Love Bees ARG. It was one of actually the first ARGs to be used in video games, which is like this... We've seen very similar things with other games and in other Halo stuff, but this was kind of the first of its kind of the viral marketing campaign where they have hidden messages and they take you to a hidden website, and that's where they devolve some information. Mm-hmm. Did you guys actually participate in this? Because I was like 3, so...
Absolutely not.
Yeah, it didn't hit
I
my
had no idea this was even happening.
Okay.
I've looked at it since then, and if you want to look into it, you know, ilovebees.co, I think maybe is the website. You can still go check it out. There's, you know, all the goodies are there for you to kind of inhale and gobble up and
inhale that
try to
lore.
Make sense of. I've gone through it since then, and I wasn't a huge fan of it, but I've heard people that really like it. It's not official canon. It's like canon. Was it canon light? But it's like it's kind of canon, but not official canon. Is that right?
Yeah. Yeah, it was. It's in a weird gray area. Mm-hmm. It's in like the viral marketing area of the lore.
Yeah, some things happen that could be considered canon, but they're not really officially part of the universe. So anyway. I guess last mission, right? Last mission, we finished Halo 1. So we blew up the Halo Woo! And escaped on a longsword, not a broadsword, as David incorrectly corrected me.
Whatever.
On the mod. 343 Guilty Spark also escaped, as you saw in the legendary ending. And as we're about to find out, so did Sergeant Johnson. This mission...
What?
Thelvadam, Supreme Commander of the Fleet of Particular Justice, is on trial for the loss of Installation 04. Meanwhile, Master Chief and Sergeant Johnson are being decorated for protecting humanity for its destruction. The ceremony is then interrupted by a relatively small Covenant fleet attacking Earth and its surrounding defenses. Chief grabs a weapon, defends Cairo Station, and uses the bomb that was planted on the station to put a dent in the invading force. The date of the game is October 20th, 2552. The last mission, just for context, the last mission of Halo CE was September 22nd. So it's about a month has passed. And if you want to know what happened in that month, there are plenty of materials for you to go check out. Check out the Halo graphic novel. It was released in 2006. I'm sure you can probably find a physical version somewhere. You know, the digital version is out there. It has four stories. The Last Voyage of the Infinite Secor. That's where Thel and Artas Vadim are both featured. So Thel's the guy on trial at the very beginning of the game. So it gives some context around they were at the Halo, the original Halo that we just blew up. And they essentially escaped or pulled out their forces. So it explains, put some context in that. And that's part of the reason, well, that is the reason that Thel is on trial, because he pulled out. There is a story called Armor Testing that just puts into perspective, hey, this Mjolnir armor is kind of like upgradable and you can swap out, you know, different components of it and things like that. So that helps explain what you do in the armory. Breaking Quarantine explains how Johnson got off the Halo, to a degree. It explains how he got away from the Flood, essentially. And then Second Sunrise over New Mombasa puts some perspective about New Mombasa, how big of a city that is, and we'll be visiting that in the outskirts on the next mission. Then there's Halo First Strike, which is a novel. Definitely read it. One of my favorite books in the Halo novel series. That explains how Chief and Johnson get back to Earth and a ton of other cool stuff that happens. So that is the largest kind of chunk in the timeline, is if you read that book. There isn't a... See, we're going to be doing the podcast Evolve. We'll have a book club on it at some point. There isn't one yet, so you got to read it on your own.
Do it. It's great.
Do it. It's very good. All right, so we're almost there. There's more stuff. You also want to go in on YouTube and check out, there's two prologue terminals that you want to check out. One's called Beholden, and that one explains how the Covenant found Earth. And the Covenant, specifically the Prophet of Regret. So he's one of the three guys in the original cutscene there. So he's the guy that finds Earth because of that cutscene there. And then there is another one called Unyielding that explains there is stuff that happened, kind of that happened in First Strike, and Fred and Linda essentially then go and talk to the UNSC Council about it.
They get debriefed.
Mm-hmm. They get debriefed, that's right. And then it cuts to the probe relay station, which is outside Io, Jupiter, which is the moon of Jupiter. And that is when they kind of essentially are discovered that the Covenant have come to Earth. One more. This one's weird. If you're playing in chronological order, this cutscene, the opening cutscene, is going to feel weird if you're playing on the Master Chief Collection, the Halo Anniversary. But if you've played through all the games, then this will make a little bit more sense. Essentially, John Locke is talking to the Arbiter, and Locke is looking for Master Chief. There's other stuff that happens, but it's weird if you're playing in chronological order, so we're not going to get too in-depth.
It's so silly where they put it. Like, I understand why they have it there. They were trying to help the hype for Halo 5 by kind of piggybacking off of the hype for Halo 2 Anniversary when Master Chief Collection came out by adding this cutscene in. But, one, this cutscene never really amounts to anything. And two, it's just in a strange position where if you are playing Halo 2 Anniversary, you have to watch this cutscene. It's not, like, hidden. It's not in its own separate little thing. It's literally just been integrated straight into the beginning cutscene of the game.
Mm-hmm. And sorry, I misspoke. It's not John Locke. It's Jameson Locke. Excuse me. Jameson Locke.
We can't have too many Johns. It gets too confusing.
Too many Johns. All right. So if you got all that, if you have some history, great. This, you know, Halo 2 makes way more sense. If you don't, look into those resources. Check that sort of stuff out. A lot of the things that we're going to be doing to this game will make a lot more sense. Halo 2 on its own makes sense, but it also is a lot of information it's throwing at you. So if you play through it the first time, it may take you a second time to play through for kind of everything to sink in. All right, so let's start with the opening cutscene. I'm just going to hand this off to you, Krista. So the Heretic, what's going on in this opening cutscene?
So you get a glimpse into just the basics of the Covenant hierarchy because their hierarchy is so religiously bound. It's everything you do has to be, you know, with the religion and everything like that. So because the ring was sacred, Arbiter was supposed to protect it. He is basically committing heresy against... Oh, whatever.
Thel.
At this point in time, yeah. So Thiel...
I'll allow it.
Whatever. But because he let the ring fall into ruin, he has committed, you know, a heretical act against the religion and, of course, is dealt with as so... So we see him at his trial. The three main guys with their weird floaty chairs and crowns are actually the top of the food chain in the Covenant Society. They are the prophets. They speak for the Great Journey, the Halos, the Forerunners, whatever you want to call it. So you have the Prophet of Truth, the Prophet of Mercy, and the Prophet of Regret. The Prophet of Regret is the one that is currently a hologram. The Prophet of Truth is the middle one, and the Prophet of Mercy is the one to the side.
The Truth is kind of the head honcho, right? And then, like, Truth and Regret are kind of battling out for, like, who's most in charge, I think.
Between the three of them, it's a power struggle. I mean, they tried to diplomatically, you know, hand the powers off to the three of them so it wouldn't get corrupted, but... As you learn through extended lore, the Covenant is just literally corruption. It's a bunch of lies and treachery to have all of these alien races indoctrinated and kind of do their bidding. So these three guys are bad dudes. They're going to do whatever it takes in their power to have as much control over everything around them as they can.
So they can continue to float around in their floaty chairs.
Yeah, and they're magical floaty chairs. And we haven't even talked about their race. So these guys look really weird, right? We haven't seen these guys before. We haven't fought these guys before. These are the San Shihum. They are always they're almost a very crippled race. They're just smart. They're like eggheads. They can't actually battle. They don't do anything. They're kind of more of the researchers and scientists of the actual hierarchy.
They
which
live
is
a
why,
long time, I believe, too. That's part of the reason.
They look live like a long time, but their reproductive thing is very limited, which is why there's never a lot of them.
Mm-hmm.
And that harkens back to Forerunner days that we're not going to go into. But So that's why there's so many different races in the Covenant, because each one has its own little duty to help the prophets do whatever bidding they need to be done. So they also talk about the Great Journey, which we talked about a little bit in Halo, but it through the cutscenes and all of the terminals and stuff. But it's basically, they believe that the Forerunners were gods. They left all these creations on their planets in order to lead them to where the Forerunners went. Of course, the Forerunners all just click-clacked themselves to get rid of the Flood. So they don't understand that at all. They think they transcended and became divine.
Mm-hmm.
So they're doing everything they can to basically kill themselves and become divine, like a crazy cult that eats poison applesauce.
Yeah.
But
is it applesauce? That sounds good.
It was applesauce. Yeah, the famous cult that killed themselves. They ate applesauce. Mm. So who the hell eats applesauce? But yeah, they all want to activate the halos, kill themselves, and become part of the Forerunners. So that's what they mean by the Great Journey. It's basically just the act of activating the halos.
And it's probably been implied, but the Forerunners are responsible for all this cool tech.
Yes.
So they're chasing after, and the Forerunners lived a long, long time ago, and they were super advanced, and they left all this stuff for the Covenant, for everybody essentially to stumble across. And the Covenant found it first, and they think it's awesome.
They think it's awesome, but they think, like, the Forerunners left the tech in order for, like, races to lift themselves up and to become, you know, more worldly and to take up the mantle of responsibility to protect all the other races. But the Covenant see it as literally, we need to use their weapons and kill ourselves with them.
Yeah. And so then back to the cutscene, they're essentially blaming Thel for the destruction, and he's on trial.
Yes. So they brand him as a heretic, which, I mean, they don't execute him, they just brand him with the mark of shame, which, if you know Sangheili culture, or the elites, also known as the Sangheili, if you know their culture at all, it's all very based on honor. It's almost very Japanese kind of samurai. It's all very based on honor and duty and all that stuff. So to be branded with a mark of shame is basically your life is over.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, he's never going to be able to own a fleet, which is one of the biggest honors you could ever get, was him being a fleet head.
Mm-hmm.
Is just like top of the rank. That's what everybody wants to be. They want to own their own fleet. So now he's never going to be able to do that. It gets very political with them. He's basically going to become an outcast after this.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's a gigantic fall from grace. After this lovely branding.
And also we see these big fuzzy gorillas.
Oh,
what's up with those guys?
Who are those guys? We saw them in Reach, right?
Yeah, we did see them in Reach. So we're going to learn a little bit more about them. But for now, they're just the brutes. They look a little different than they did in Halo Reach. But they've kind of gone through a lot of metamorphoses.
They look way better in Anniversary than any of the game, too. They look awesome.
It's the blur cutscenes, the beautiful blur cutscenes, very sexy, very shiny and sexy. But so the brutes are here, their brutes are back. We're going to learn about them a little later, so we'll get into them as the story unfolds. But they're there, they're hanging out.
So then the cutscene essentially kind of goes back and forth between the Covenant, and then it goes forward to Chief and Johnson. David, do you want to talk through kind of what's going on there on the UNSC side?
Yeah, I really like this kind of cutscene, the way it chops back and forward between the two. It shows the two very different kind of ceremonies, which I kind of like. So you got like Chief and Johnson pretty much talking us through the setup of Earth, essentially. The way it's kind of you're on these big gun platforms, which are pretty kind of cool. And they exist in a cluster of three, and they're all named after cities that they're supposedly in geosync over. And they kind of operate together, just these big Mac cannons. So it's a pretty kind of cool concept. So anyway, you're kind of getting medals, essentially.
I jumped the gun. We didn't talk about the armory, and that's my fault.
Oh.
We didn't talk about the armory. So there's a little bit of training here.
You want to talk about the intro?
There's that intro. That's my fault. So essentially, you just get used to the controls. You got to talk to the southern kind of cranky armor guy as you're getting your new armor. And they also show that you're not gonna have to. What's that?
Is he Quartermaster? Is that what they call him?
Yeah, that's probably right. Quartermaster. Yeah. That's right, vernacular. And then it also shows how you're not going to have to get health packs anymore, which is great.
No more health packs. I don't like that. You like that. I don't like that.
See, I don't like the health. Like, I don't like having this health bar and the shields bar. I'm okay with just having shields bar, and then, you know, you're able to take one or three hits after that's depleted, and then you die.
But I never like not knowing actually how much health you have. And that you just have this little shield that drops really fast. Okay, it comes up really fast, but you never know what your level of health is.
Yeah, I do like it when in the later games the health bar is there, but it recharges just like the shields. Isn't that what Halo 5 did? Pretty sure.
No, it's just, it was...
No, is it just a shield?
Just a shield, pretty sure.
It would be nice to have an indicator for that, though, that maybe recharged with the shields as well.
Yeah, but... anyway.
And then, so now you're in the Mark 6 now, right?
Yeah, it's just you've got Mark 6 armor, so you're all upgraded up because everything in your suit is fried and messed up, which you think it would be after all of the events of everything that you mentioned, Colin.
Yeah, and that's the thing, is like if you're playing straight through the games, you're kind of assuming that it was just from the Halo installation 4, the destruction of that, but there's a lot more that happens in between in that month. So yeah, so there wasn't really a break on top of that. And so now his armor's in worse shape.
Yeah, and then we get introduced to Sergeant Johnson, who is a character now, who, like we said, all through Halo CE, he wasn't a real character. He was just a model, essentially, that was voice acted. And now we have the character of Sergeant Johnson, who survives. And I liked that. At the time, I didn't know about First Strike, so it was just classified, and I was like, okay, that's just what they're going to say. Because the last time I saw him, he was holding hands or grabbing the ass of a... as CE blows up, so I'm like, yeah, that's probably pretty classified, but anyway, it was just a very quick way to kind of cover up and keep the story moving that Johnson is alive. He was on CE with you, and here you are. Now essentially we cut back to, okay, he's talking about what you're on the space station is a big gun, big Mac gun. There's three of them in a cluster, and then you get introduced to another lovely blur cutscene where you're being awarded medals. So is Johnson. Johnson gets his cool medal, and then it cuts back to the Arbiter getting burned, or his armor stripped and stuff like that, and then it cuts back to Chief, or Miranda, I think, who is introduced. You have these Commander Keyes, who is Miranda Keyes, who is the daughter of Captain Keyes from the first game, Jacob Keyes, and it's never spoken about, but this is the daughter of Halsey, which I think we mentioned way back in Halo Reach, when we were talking about Halsey and whatnot. So here we have Miranda Keyes. Who's a great character, who I think is wasted before her time. But we won't go in depth until the time is right. But she accepts Jacob's key, a medal on behalf of Jacob's Keys. You imagine Chief was getting a medal as well. It cuts back to the Arbiter, who is stripped and naked and is about to get burned. So I thought this was cool to see, like, Sangheili without their armor.
They're almost reptilian. It's really interesting.
Yeah, very much so. And he gets burned, that brand on his chest of shame. And then, I'm pretty sure that's the end of side of it. Because then we have Cortana pops up and she looks really cool. Cortana looks
a little different now.
She looks different than all the games.
Yeah, she does, that's true.
Cortana's infamous for changing her appearance.
Did she always have that fade going on in the back? Whatever's going on in the back of her head or not? Maybe that's just this game. Yeah,
I don't know.
It's just this game.
Okay. I like Halo CE Cortana better than this Cortana. The way that she looks, her look. Continue.
Okay. And then pretty much Covenant show up, a small unit. They're outside the kill zone. And then you get a kind of cool graphic of all of their, like, ships coming out and all their kind of boarding craft. And they very extremely effectively disable the human... and defense of Earth, which you imagine is the most heavily defended planet that the humans have. So that was just disappointing. You see the Covenant just ride on through. Yep. And even then the fleet is 15 ships. And even though the fleet that attacked Reach was 50 ships. Yep.
That's a key point.
Like 50 times. So, like, I don't know. It's this point. But anyway, it happens. And then you have pretty much Chief turning to Johnson in the pretty iconic line of, I need a weapon.
Pretty dope. Master Chief, defend this station.
I need a weapon. And then the game starts.
And then it's finally like time the real game starts. To shoot stuff, right. And then you immediately, essentially, you know, you pick up a BR right away and an SMG right away, which you didn't have in any of the you had it in Reach, right? Wasn't there BR in Reach?
No, DMR.
Just the DMR? Okay, so...
Yeah, there was no BR in Reach.
We haven't had a BR yet. So this is the first opportunity to shoot around with the BR and the SMG. Do you guys have a favorite of the two?
BR,
baby. BR. Yeah.
I like the idea of the SMG, but that thing just pulls. Very hard to control. And
yes, it is.
It shoots very, very fast. It shoots all of its bullets really fast. But it
has some uses. Dual wielding. I like that. I like the game introduces that.
And remind me, can you deal with... I don't dual wield a ton. You dual wield BR and SMG?
Oh, no.
Okay. It's only SMGs.
SMGs, the pistol, the plasma pistol, the plasma rifle, and the needler are all dual wieldable in this game.
Okay. In any combination, right?
In any combination, yeah.
That's right. Okay. So then, yeah, we essentially go out and the Covenant are boarding Cairo Station, and we go and watch the doors get melted open, and then we start shooting guys, and it's great. Great fun. It's fun to be back in the Halo, and it's fun to feel the difference across, you know, so this is our third game, and it still feels good, but it feels different. The sounds are different. Obviously, the guns we just talked about are different. Things are just, a little bit different, so it takes a little bit getting used to, but you know, I tend to settle in with that BR like you guys. Once I start realizing how good it is, that the three shots out of that burst shot is fantastic. Anything about the initial enemies? Where the enemies are pretty much everything we've seen already. It's red and blue elites and grunts. Did we see any jackals in this opening?
No. It's just pretty basic stuff, yeah. Especially the beginning couple counters are pretty basic. And then we get to more interesting stuff outside.
Yeah, you get to see some of those stations blow up, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's pretty cool. So pretty much the borders bring across, pretty obvious they bring with them like a bomb way of destroying the cluster.
Mm-hmm.
So what I think kind of happens is they're in groups of three for a reason, so they can punch through the shields when they're coordinated and penetrate through to the Covenant vessels. So I think destroying two obviously made Regret feel good enough for running his ships through, because obviously you don't destroy, well, you don't know yet.
Mm-hmm.
You're fighting your way essentially to go find the bomb, so after you see these things blow up, you have a few more encounters as you fight through the station. And a few new enemies, and then you go outside, which I think is pretty cool.
Yeah.
I like that. I kind of the way you're outside and all the sounds is like all different, the mm-hmm. muted and stuff. You're fighting these jetpack elites.
Yeah.
It is so cool to be out in space as well. Like when I first played this game, I'm like, holy shit, I'm in space. Just right. Hanging out in space. You're a Master Chief in space.
Yeah, it's a good feeling. And like the jumping feels different too, right? And yeah.
Yeah, it's all muted. Mm-hmm. I think David already said that. But...
Yeah, it's pretty dope.
Yeah, it's pretty good. So RIP Station Malta, RIP Station Athens. Now it's Chief's turn to defend the station. So, and you're hearing chatter from Cortana, like over the loudspeaker you're hearing chatter. And are you hearing, does Lord Hood chime in too, I think?
He's sending squads to certain places and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
Just issuing commands like a Lord Hood does.
And then it also has the alarm going on in the background, too. So, like, it feels like a very panic situation, which it is, but they do a good job of setting that environment and, the situation is dire, and they do a really good job of setting that up. And as you're fighting through the station and continually to stumble across the Covenant, and then you finally essentially realize that, oh, there's a bomb somewhere, and we got to get to it. And so that's essentially where you're progressing through to find to this bomb. You got to go inside, you got to go outside, then you got to go back inside, and then you got to go back outside again to finally get to the bomb. We do see some drones here.
Some boogers.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's another new enemy.
Yama-A.
I hate the drones. Oh, man.
Yeah, have we actually talked about... I know we talked about them a little bit during Reach. Mm-hmm. Have we talked about just, like, how they work? No. Just basics of their race.
We could introduce it, because they pop up a couple times, I think, so maybe...
Yeah, and they carry on through Halo 3 as well, but essentially, they're basically bees. They have a queen that kind of tells them what to do and how to go about things, and then, you know, the hunters go out and they start attacking. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, it works very much like that. So the Covenant, you know, is able to integrate itself and convince the queens to use their hive in order to fight with them. They're just very simple. They don't have a lot of intelligence. They're just kind of simple drones. The queen's the only one who has any modicum of intelligence, but it's still not that much. So, I mean, they're not a very interesting race. They're just basically...
They're just hard to shoot.
Overwhelmed with numbers.
Right. Every time I see them in Halo, I take a deep breath, roll my eyes.
Yeah.
Like, not these guys again.
You just wait for them to land. Their little wings get tired and they land.
That's true.
And then they explode when you hit them. It's great.
Do they explode in this one too?
Or just no, these? I think that's Halo 3, but
yeah.
I think it's funny when they do.
So Miranda chimes in at some point, doesn't she? Or is that just in the ending cutscene?
That's the ending cutscene.
Oh, okay.
So, I mean, yeah. I think you see Sergeant Johnson and Miranda while you're going through the station, but you're kind of Master Chief and don't stand to talk to them. You just kind of go, oh, okay, I'm going to go kill some people now, bye.
One thing I skimmed over...
he's doing his thing.
One thing I skimmed over at the very, very beginning when the Covenant are melting the door down is that... Johnson has a turret, a giant turret he's holding there. And then he just kind of sets it up right on the stairs and starts firing away. Do you guys ever take that turret? Can you take it from him? I think you might.
Yeah, you can. Yeah. I have done in the past, yeah.
Yeah.
No, I'm too hot on the BR. Feels good to have it.
It does. Feels nice.
Feels nice in my hands.
So is that it? I mean, then we're at cutscene, right?
That's it. We find the bomb. And then we kill the guys, yeah. I mean, if you're playing on normal, it goes through pretty fast. Anything above that, it's like kind of a drag, but...
Yeah, there's more waves than waves.
Yeah, definitely more of a slog. It's fun to see, like, the pelicans parked there. It kind of gets a sense of how big they are. At some point... Actually, this station is very hard on Legendary. I had a hard time with this.
Everything's really hard on Legendary.
Yeah, especially going into that hangar section where you've seen the pelicans, and there's like a doorway that you're walking into, and there's a couple grunt turrets on top, and
yeah, that room's one of the most difficult ones.
That room is brutal because you kind of clear out the opening area, and then there's one or two more waves that pop in. It's brutal, and you're scrambling for ammo. Ugh, it is
still better than the infinite jackal snipers later in the game.
Oh, that's right.
That's the next mission. That broke me. No, I think it's like mission 4 or 5.
That's further on. Yeah, yeah. Okay.
That broke me. I'll talk about it more later, but I was a broken person after that.
Yeah. Are you guys playing on normal too?
Right now, I'm playing on normal. I'm deciding whether I want to boot it up to heroic or not. I'm kind of going back and forth. It's like maybe.
Yeah,
I like the game so much on normal. It's nice. It's a nice cruise.
I've heard somebody say that like the game feels balanced on heroic because it feels like it's a challenge. You're not just melting through the Covenant or the enemies, but you have to be fairly careful. But you can also kind of be a super soldier, whereas in normal you feel a little bit too OP. But at the same time, it's more fun.
I think heroic is the most lore accurate of the four difficulties. Just between all of the games, honestly, it's more accurate of how balanced everything is and how difficult it is, and just how Master Chief works in the elites and
right
shield strength and stuff like that.
Definitely,
some good stuff.
All right, so closing cutscene. So we finally get to the room where there's a bomb in there and a bunch of elites and some grunts. You got to clear out that room and then locate the bomb. And once I think you have to hit X or whatever it is on the bomb, and then that triggers the cutscene. One of the better, more fun cutscenes, I think, in the game.
It's so good. And this is the first, like, real mission of the game. It's just like, bam, here you are, Halo 2. Here we go. Right.
Yeah, it's very good. It's the bomb is like this spiky, weird looking thing, and Master Chief's just dragging it around, you know, with his bare hands.
I just like the permission to leave the station. Lord Hood's like, yeah, what the hell, so why? And he's like, to give the Covenant back their bomb. And you can almost see in the cutscene the like recognition in his eye. He's like, what is this crazy motherfucker gonna be doing now? What the hell? And he's like, okay, do whatever you want, Chief. Here you go.
Mm-hmm. And then there's the good line of Cortana
what
asking,
if you miss?
Chief, what if we miss? And he says,
I won't.
Very good.
Just like, even the remaster of this is so spectacular.
Well, the cutscene is so, I mean, it
lends itself very well to nice graphics.
Yes. Yeah, just the battle that's going on around them, and you see Chief riding this bomb down while all these explosions are going on. It's fantastic. They did an amazing job.
Yeah, really cool.
Yeah. Very, very good. And then, so Chief returns the bomb, blows one of the ships in half, and then he's still floating around in space, but then he links up with Miranda Keys and Johnson, who are... do you guys remember what ship they're in? I'm not sure what the name it is, but they're...
An Amber Clad.
Oh, yes. Okay. That's right. That's Miranda's ship. Right. Mm-hmm. So then he hits on top of that, and
for a brick, he flew pretty well.
Yeah.
Johnson has so many one-liners in this game. So many.
It's just, he's excellent. Like, just these couple of cutscenes bring so much more cinematic and character value mm-hmm. into the Halo games. Like, Halo CE was great for what it was, but these really just flesh out the universe a lot, yeah. make the characters a little more relatable and lovable and more of a personality, and just giving the universe a lot more context and, like, texture.
Mm-hmm. Well, just, like, the faces for all of the characters, you know, I mean, Chief is just a helmet, but I think Johnson looks great, Miranda looks great, you know, Hood with all his wrinkles, they just...
Whoever they found to do all of these face models were... Mm-hmm. Just great. They must have like a crazy database full of just people's faces at Blur.
We didn't really talk about Lord Hood, how Lord is a weird thing, but I guess he's just like in charge of the Navy. He's like the head honcho guy.
Naval head.
Yeah. So he's the boss man, and he's got like a metal thing going on the back of his head. Do you guys see that at all? Did you notice that?
Yeah, it's an implant.
It's
kind of like what
for like
Keys
AIs
had?
And stuff. Yeah,
something like that. Yeah,
most of the big captains have it for information and stuff like that.
Okay, so he's not a cyborg.
No, okay. Well, everyone's kind of part cyborg in this universe
probably.
Anyway.
That's actually
so, yeah, they all have implants.
Lots of implants.
Various
yeah.
functions.
Yeah. All right, so that's the mission. I think it's exciting, right? It gets you hyped up to keep going.
It's a great intro, mm-hmm. just for, like, everything that it sets up. Like, way more lore than the first game had in all of it. Like,
yeah.
It's crazy.
Yep, absolutely. And if you had a chance to, before you're listening to this, kind of soaking in all the lore that happened between 1 and 2, as I mentioned, you know, at the beginning of the show, it just... The fact that, you know, you're defending... You're defending humanity in Reach, then you stumble across this Halo ring... And then, you know, all this other cool stuff happens that it's up to you to go in and look into that stuff. But then the Covenant find Earth. So, like, a lot of stuff happens in this short little window of time.
We haven't even talked about the importance of finding Earth, because at this point, you know, the Cole Protocol is in effect, which is what we saw in the very first mission of Halo 1, where they're extracting Cortana, saying that the... directions to Earth could not fall into Covenant hands.
Mm-hmm.
So up until this part of the war, the Sol system remains undiscovered by the Covenant, which is a crazy feat, because they have gone through a bunch of other human colonies and destroyed all of the planets.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So just by them, their ability to hide Earth is such a huge thing. And so when the Covenant are found in the Sol system...
The war's been going on since 2525, is that right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So it's been going on for...
like 25 years.
Yeah, right.
They were able to hide their home planet. And so when Covenant show themselves in the Sol system, that's a big deal.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that is, you know, they have finally found our home turf. What are we going to do? Right. I mean, Reach fell within days. And Reach was even more protected than Earth is. Mm-hmm. And of course, you know, since then they were really, they added all these platforms to Earth and stuff like that with the Mac guns. But for its time, this was very, very significant. And the fact that, you know, the fleet wasn't as big, they were very confused about that. And that was revealed in one of the terminals we talked about, mm-hmm. the prequel terminals. So
yeah, the other thing that was mentioned in that prequel terminal, so it wasn't just that the Prophet of Regret found Earth, he was looking for the other Halos. And so yeah. this luminary that's explained in that cutscene essentially says you can get to all the other Halos from via the Ark, and the way to get to the Ark is if you find Earth. And that's
well, it's not even called Earth. It's Erda Tyrene, and it's right. The portal to the Ark. They don't even know that that's it's true. The humans' homeworld at this mm-hmm. point. They show up and they're like, "What the fuck? What did yeah. we find? What the hell?" They're confused.
It's also kind of, I know it's not in the game or in kind of the extended lore, but the luminaries keep pointing out like that humans are like one of the sources. So like luminaries like identify like Covenant or like, sorry, foreign technology and stuff like that. And that's how like the Covenant find all these artifacts, mm-hmm. but it keeps identifying humanity. And this was in Contact Harvest where like they had the luminary and they were like, oh, there is foreign technology all over this planet, but it was the humans that it was identifying. The Covenant didn't know that, and that was a big thing about one of the big secrets that the Hierarchs are hiding, mm-hmm. and that's why humanity must be purged.
Right.
Because, I mean, the Forerunners designated us as the Reclaimers, which is what they were seeing us as, which is why we're marked as Forerunner symbols on all of the luminaries, because we're exactly. supposed to reclaim the galaxy. We were supposed to take the Forerunner's place. Mm-hmm. So yeah, that just kills their religion. So that's basically why they want to extinguish us, and that's why we're the first race that they didn't try to integrate into the Covenant. Mm-hmm. Because of that. So that's the whole reason this war is going on. And humanity has no idea. We're just like, these yeah. guys just showed up and started destroying shit. I don't know what's going on.
Yeah.
You'll recall that Reclaimer was used by 343, Guilty Spark, and Halo CE.
Mm-hmm.
They're all tied together. And again, we mentioned it before, like, a lot of the stuff we're talking about wasn't fleshed out until after, like, much later.
No, it's yeah. not. So at this point, like, if you're just playing the games, you're still a little, you're like, kind of understand, but it's like all of this extended lore that mm-hmm. we are sharing unto you, we are That's bestowing right. unto you, the listener, so That's that you right. can have a lot more context for these games, because the lore really takes these games from being like a really interesting game to a fantastic game.
Oh, fantastic.
Once you know all of this stuff.
The universe.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. So I think we're in good shape here to now go on to the outskirts. We want to do, there's a terminal to find, and then,
did we talk about the first terminal in this one?
No, not yet. So I want to talk okay. about that, and then I did do a community question in Facebook. I don't know if you did anything on Twitter, Krista.
No, I did not.
David, if you want to pop in, it should be one of the first couple posts there. What all I did is post, I didn't know what to post, because there's so much that happens, right? It's like, you know, where were you when you played Halo 2 or whatnot? So I just decided to have a little fun, and what the bomb scene, so when Cortana says, "What if we miss?" I just asked the community to come up with a better response from Chief.
Oh, that's great.
So that we had a couple responses that popped in. I don't know, David, do you have that up?
No, I'm still scrolling.
Okay, it's not too
here,
far
here, I
down.
Can go over the terminal real quick then.
Okay, you do terminal then, quick.
Okay, so most of these terminals actually have to do with Thiel, the elite who we saw get click-clacked or, you know, branded at the very beginning. So it's kind of just going over his history. So it talks about his early career. It talks about him coming in first contact with humanity in a colony known as the Rubble. Talks about how he functions under the Prophet of Regret. This actually does a really crazy reference to one of the books. So it one of the first time... an elite really got to do head like toe to toe with a Spartan was with the Arbiter with Gray Team. So that's Spartan 006, 111, and 120, and that is from the Cole Protocol novel. Completely worth reading. It goes into Regret and Thiel and these three almost, they're basically like super spy Spartan hybrids. They're totally undercover, you know, working in the dark with very little intel and getting stuff done. So they're super interesting. So it really goes over that. And it just talks about how he is in combat. He's very personal when it comes to combat. He is always on the ground instead of just, you know, in the back, you know, giving people orders. He's personally going into battles and, you know, killing people. So that's basically all that's talked about. This is Locke presenting this information, which is another tie-in to Halo 5. But at this point, we really don't know who Locke is. But just some of the really early history of the Arbiter. So we'll get into more of that as the terminals keep progressing. But that's our little... Mm-hmm. Here's Thiel. Here's what he's all about.
So Locke does, I think, a lot of these terminals, right? They're all kind of Locke terminals. So he's like the profiler. Yeah. He's doing a bunch of research, kind of looking into everything that's been going on in the Covenant, in the human Covenant War. And so we're essentially reading or getting updates on everything that he's uncovering here. And again, providing a lot of context as to what's going on. All right, community question. Anything? There was a couple funny ones, I thought. Did you find them, David?
Yeah, they're pretty good. Yeah, I got them. We have, then we will both plummet to our deaths.
So you got to read it again. Read this first, so.
Oh, got to read the phrase. Okay, all right. So, Colin Perkins posted in Facebook on August 31st, 7:24 p.m. Write better banter. Cortana, just one question. What if me and Miss? Master Chief, insert with the response here. Ian says, then we will both plummet to our deaths, which is exactly what would happen. Mm-hmm. What if you shut the hell up? So Ian, getting pretty saucy.
That's right.
Luke says, I never miss. That's pretty cool. Spencer Gibbons, relax, I'd rather not piss this thing off, which is a quote from another game. I can't remember where exactly where that's from.
Is that Gears?
Oh, it's the Gravemind.
Oh, okay. Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Then we have Spencer Gibbons as well. Don't get any funny ideas. It's pretty funny. So that's kind of when you think about when Chief and Cortana first kind of mingled in Halo CE. Ooh, that's kind of what he says to her. Mingled. That's all we got. That's all she wrote.
Beautiful. Beautiful.
Good times. All right, I'll come up with it. That was a fun one. We'll come up with some
I enjoyed
more.
That one.
Yeah, as we go on, as always. That's it.
I have two, maybe three bits of trivia that I want to say that's kind of cool.
Okay, let's do it.
The original design for the station was that it would be mobile and would move itself around to constantly align with the main gun on targets. As you notice, the station is actually static the whole time. And the player was supposed to be able to take control of the station's MAC gun.
Wouldn't
have that been dope? But that obviously got cut from the game.
A lot got cut from Halo 2.
I know.
It's
and, well, most of the Halo games.
Halo 3 got cut from Halo 2. Turns
out. Yeah, that's funny. This is the only level in which elites will wield plasma pistols. That's kind of interesting. Bungie had planned a level after this, where Master Chief would land on the Covenant ship, break in, destroy it from the inside out. This was shown in the announcement trailer where Chief jumped out of the airlock with no bomb. That's what he was doing. However, because of the deadlines, this level was cut from the game. Because I remember that intro or that trailer where he does go, well, like, what have you missed? And he goes, I won't. And he pulls the trigger and flies out. There's no bomb with him then. So that would have been actually pretty cool.
Going the bomb was a great way to come to a middle ground, though, because it's a really iconic moment now.
It is. And obviously, you know, it's just an awesome cutscene and even looks better with blur. It's also kind of important to note that this mission is the first time we ever see ODSTs. So in various airlocks around the mission, you have dead ODSTs on the ground. There's 4 in total in this mission. And this is the first time we've ever seen ODSTs in the Halo universe.
Oh, yeah. So well, chronologically. Well, I guess in release order.
Yeah,
In release order. Obviously, they're all over Reach, which we've played to this point.
Mm-hmm. Very cool.
There you go, peoples.
All right, well, stick with us. That'll do it for our debriefing of the opening missions of Halo 2. On the next episode, we'll be covering the outskirts from Halo 2. Send us your thoughts at podcastevolved@gmail.com or drop us a tweet at podcastevolved on Twitter. Until next time, evolved.
Evolved! We did it! We got to Halo 2. The best Halo.